We're continuing our series on achieving an alien mentality, and we're talking about, first we talked about how we should live and conduct ourselves in this life as an alien, a foreigner, and a stranger, which is what we are. We are aliens, we are foreigners, we are strangers, we are pilgrims, we are exiles, we are refugees, we're just passing through. On our way to a better country, as the Hebrews calls it. On our way to a better place. And when a Christian dies, and the pastor says at the homegoing services that she's in a better place, that's true of a Christian. Amen. We throw that out too often on just everybody. Yeah. Some folks are not in a better place. If they're in hell, then they're in a worse place. Because the worst day on earth is going to be better than your worst, and then your best day in hell. Hell is a horrible place. But we thank God we are aliens, foreigners, and strangers. We are on our way. So as we are here as aliens in this world, meaning we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Again, alien means what? Anybody remembers the
alongside term?
Alongside the house, right? Alongside the house. The house is where the people of this world dwell. Their mindset, their way of thinking, their worldview. We are outside that house, alongside of it, meaning that we are not a part of that, but we got to be here because this is where he has us to be. This is where redemption takes place on this earth. And so that's why we're here, but we're here as a foreigner. We're not here as a resident because we don't belong here.
Amen.
We don't belong here in the sense that this is not our final destination in that sense. So how we should live, we talked about how we are to conduct ourselves righteously and honestly among those who are watching us. And then we're now asking the question, why should we as aliens live this way? And we started that last 2 weeks ago, actually. So let's go back to our foundation text of 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And we are kind of going over this in a slow motion fashion, but I'd like to think that hopefully that it is a benefit to kind of remind us as to exactly who we are in Christ Jesus. And to remind us that we are not our own.
Amen.
So why are we to live this way? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So those are three things. We are a chosen race. We'll go over those definitions in a second. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness, thank you, Lord Jesus, into his marvelous light.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
So why are we to live this way? Because we're not our own. Notice he says, a people for God's own possession. We belong to him. We're a chosen race. We talked about that. Common life, common descent. We are a body or a people with common life, common descent. We're family from all people groups in union with Christ. I love, absolutely love that. From every tongue or language, tribe, people, and nation, we have a common life, common descent. And one thing we have to realize is that even though the theology is different, and it is different even amongst Reformed, there are those who are charismatic who are saved. Now, those who are Catholic, who are saved, I think just barely, because they got a lot of things going on in that thing there. But there are many in the body is made up of whose theology is different. We're not going to ever agree down on this earth in this time as far as bringing all of our theologies together. That's not going to happen here.
Amen.
And matter of, so we don't work toward that. What we work toward is loving one another, getting along with one another, in spite of our theological differences.
Yes,
I'm not saying overlook them per se, because if somebody comes to you with something that is theologically incorrect, that is biblically incorrect, and wants to try to convince you, though, you ought to speak out against that 100%. But as far as getting along with them, being kind and patient with them, 100%, we ought to get along with them. They are of the body. There's common descent. There's two in the corner if you want to. We are of common life. We share in a common life and a common descent. We are one family from all people groups in union. In union with Christ Jesus. All of us belong to Christ Jesus. I'm talking about in the body. Yes.
Amen.
In the body. Be it charismatic. Be it Baptist. Be it Episcopalian. Be it Reformed. Isaiah 43:20. You have to turn there. Just quick review. He said, my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, will declare my praise. We're here to declare his praise, to put his glory on display, because we are a chosen race. Who chose us? Yeah, God Almighty. He personally elected us. And we all try to tell you, to remind you, and I don't ever get into no self-help, motivational type speaking, not on purpose. But the word of God itself is motivating. So in that sense, as we kind of just drift into a bit of a motivational speaking, that's why you don't have to worry about, as a child of God, about whether or not somebody else accepts you or likes you or whatever, because he personally chose you. He personally died for you. You're his. You belong to him. Keep reading. He said, you are a royal priesthood. Remember, that's a priest who are in the service of the king. A holy nation. We are a nation. Noted that, meaning we're set apart, consecrated to God for service for him. And a nation is a multitude of people of the same nature. We didn't get to that last time. A nation is a multitude of people of the same nature. Whose same nature is it? Yeah, Christ Jesus, God the Father. We're partakers of his divine nature. That makes us a nation, a family, a priesthood, a chosen race or generation. So notice all those are groups, no individuals. That's a reminder. We're part of a larger group. We're our race, a priesthood, a holy nation, which is a multitude of people of the same nature. Boy, that's really a good definition too. Hey. Regardless of your people group or of your ethnicity or your culture, we're of the same nature. Amen. Which is the nature, having the nature of God. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Whether you're Arab, whether you are Indian from India, Native American, whether you are black, brown, yellow, white, it doesn't make a difference. He said, if you belong to God, we all have the same nature. And I love, that's a great equalizer. And that's the teaching that we're still on Wednesday. We're talking about getting rid of the sin of racial, the toxic sin of racial hatred. With that, the way you get rid of it, one of the reasons is to understand we all have the same divine nature. In, I'm talking about those in Christ Jesus. God didn't save just all black people. He didn't just only save white people or any one particular group. He saved a multitude from all people groups. And we belong to one another. I'm Father God, we're hearing you say this, but it's really not setting in like it needs to. Help us to get into deep into our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. A multitude of people from the same nature. So that's who we are. Then we are a people for God's own possession. We talked about the King James used the word peculiar. We went over that last week, but boy, it doesn't hurt to go over it again this week. Peculiar literally means to make around That is to make something and then to surround it with a circle, thus indicating ownership. So God created us uniquely and then surrounded us and says, this particular one individual is my child. And then we said the rest of that means the Greek word speaks of the unique, private, personal ownership of the saints by God. Each saint is unique, is God's unique possession, just as if that saint were the only human being in existence. That's something to rejoice about. Yeah. That's something you ought to write out that definition, just put it everywhere you go. When the devil try to tell you, don't know about love, you ain't nobody about this, that, and the other. Yeah. Start to tell all them lies to you. Mm-hmm. Amen. On days you just feeling some type of way, you don't even know why. Pull this definition out. Personal, private, unique ownership by God of the saints. Each saint is God's unique possession, just as if that saint were the only human being in existence. And the beautiful thing about that is God can uniquely love all whatever million of his saints, and he doesn't run out of energy or love, or and each relationship with God and you is different and unique than it is from you, even your son and God, than it from me and God, you and God. It's all unique, it's personal. Boy, you let that just marinate for a moment. Yes. That's amazing. He's personally into you. And we ought to be personally into him.
Amen.
Selah. Pause and calmly think about that. He really is on your side. He's not just making that up. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He has personally placed himself, in the person of the Holy Spirit inside of you. You have God living inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, we've been hearing this off and on for years, but Lord God, help us to just take it in. And not like, yes, I heard this before. We want to take it in. Let it become a part of the fabric of our very spiritual being. And let it just wash over the way we think and become a part of the fabric of even our mental health and our thinking and our believing and our understanding. God is my master, my owner, and I am uniquely his. Boast in that, in a sense of coming from Godward boasting. I'm uniquely his, as if nobody else existed. Now, all that is wonderful. Royal priest, we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Now, here's the reason. All this is why we're to live out this thing here. We belong to him. But here's the so that. This is where we stopped last time. So that. In the Greek, it's called a purpose clause. Here's the reason, the purpose for it. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why are you to live this way? So that you may proclaim God's excellencies. We'll get to that in a second. It's the same thing in Isaiah, which says, my people, whom I formed for myself, Isaiah 43:21, will declare my praise. Notice, I've called you to myself to declare my glory, or to declare my praise, or to put my excellencies on display. That's what it's about. It's not about you. He didn't call you so that you could put you on display, which is what we tend to do. Ask the Lord, this fighting that again this morning. Lord, help me to keep fighting, wanting to put me on display.
Amen.
Amen.
We're his chosen. We're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and his possessions, so that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called us. The word proclaim means to publish, to advertise, and to do so in the sense of telling something otherwise unknown. What's unknown to folks in the world? The excellencies of God, the glory of God. So again, the word proclaim means to publish or to advertise, right? To make known abroad. And to do so in the sense of telling something otherwise unknown. You won't know about God unless they see. And that's why we tell you the first introduction to God, Lord Jesus Christ, is your life.
Amen. Amen.
Your life in front of that, lived out in front of that person.
Amen.
You know, you're in a place I've never gone in. What's the name of the place you work at? Yeah, Quicken Loans. A major,
Billion dollar.
Yeah, is it international or just national?
Just all 50 states.
Oh, okay, so it's a national
corporation.
I've never set foot in Quicken Loans, but Jamil is there. That's why whenever you step foot somewhere, you are representing God,
Amen.
Not you.
Amen.
You're representing God. And he's representing God as a black man. So that's a double thing in there. You hear that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You're never representing you. It's always God first. We are to publish. So you're a walking billboard. You are a New York Times bestseller published, right? In the sense of published like a book. Remember he said you are a living epistle, known and read of all men?
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is continuing to say.
Amen.
That you may proclaim, to publish, to advertise. What are you to advertise? The excellencies of him. The word excellencies is gracious dealings, because God is gracious in dealing with us. As we just talked about mental health. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
You ought to be telling, look what God has done. Oh my goodness, oh you're so wonderful, you're such a nice person, you're this and that and the other. You tell them, but glory be to God.
Yes.
Because just the grace of God. So his gracious dealing, that's one. Excellencies also means glorious attributes. The ability to perform powerful heroic deeds, that's his excellencies. I'm going to say it again. Gracious dealings, glorious. You know, I'm talking about God's glorious attributes, God's gracious dealings, and God's ability to perform powerful, heroic deeds. That's what we're to proclaim, because it is a powerful and heroic deed that he took us out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Because
we were crooked, cross-eyed, and crazy, and should have been dead, as the old folks used to say, and sleeping in our grave. Ain't no soul sleep there, but you know what I'm trying to say there.
Amen.
It's a miracle.
Amen.
Want me to read it again? Yeah. You don't have time for this thing. Throw your hand up. I got you. I lost. Excellencies. Gracious dealings. Glorious attributes. The ability to perform powerful, heroic deeds. Because God is our hero. Look what he took us out of.
Amen.
Now, if you've been in alcohol, so drunk you don't know your name. Don't know where you got. Sometimes you drive home, don't know how you got there.
Amen.
Am I right?
Amen.
That's scary.
Yes, it is.
Talking about mental health. Lord, have mercy. Just gone, yeah. Just way gone. Or you just was angry all the time. Or you wanted to fight all the time. Or you just wanted to cuss all the time. Just do what you do. You hung around dangerous situations. Guns and dope and things. And shouldn't have come out of that.
Amen.
Or in eighth grade, like my old crazy self, hanging with crazy people. And when they run from the police and hide in the bush, you running with them. So, oh, this a game. Not knowing you dumb. You get swept up in the net just like them.
Amen.
Just don't realize it. Mother didn't know what I was doing. Lord have mercy. Yes. Let me read that again. What that? The ability to perform powerful and heroic deeds. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He saved us.
Yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
We were sinking deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore. So we're to proclaim, and can you understand? So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him. Mm-hmm. What else you going to proclaim? Your stupidities or his excellencies? Yes, we are. He did that so we would be a walking billboard. Look what the Lord has done. That's what you say. Look what the Lord has done. Look at me so you can see God.
Amen.
Since you can't just see God, look at me and see God. Don't you know when you've seen me? You've seen the Father.
Amen.
We're to publish and proclaim and advertise what God has done. The excellencies of him who has done what? What are we going to publish and proclaim the excellencies of what he's done in his powerful performance? He called us out of darkness. Darkness is a sinful state of unbelievers who are trapped in the spiritual darkness of Satan, the prince of darkness. That's scary. That's all of us. I'm going to read that again. Listen to this again. That's all of us. Every person born in the womb is in this state. The sinful state of unbelievers who are trapped in the spiritual darkness of Satan, the prince of darkness. Let me know if you need me to repeat that again. Meaning that you are trapped, you are imprisoned until God comes and releases you. You can never get yourself, again, yeah, you can never get yourself out of that. We were on our way to hell, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Darkness, a sinful state of unbelievers who are trapped in the spiritual darkness of Satan, the prince of darkness. And that goes with, help me, Lord. Let's try, just hold on a minute. I think it's Colossians chapter 1. Help me, Lord Jesus. Yes. Can you turn to Colossians chapter 1 right quick? It's a good prayer. Okay, we just go to the one. Verse 12. Colossians 1:12. It's an actual prayer that begins at verse 9, actually. So it's a prayer that goes down. But we go to verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. Who qualified us? He did. To share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. Now, what are some of your Bibles saying, the translation?
Power of darkness.
The power of darkness. Somebody else?
To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
Right, right. But what is yours? The kingdom, is there a kingdom of darkness?
No.
What does it say for darkness? King, verse?
Number 13.
Uh-huh.
Who has delivered us from the power of darkness.
Power, okay. Yours power. Okay. Yeah, okay, that's what I'm looking for, that word power, yeah. So the power of darkness, domain of darkness, some say kingdom of darkness, that's where we were trapped, that's the trap. Did y'all get the definition, by the way? Yeah. That's where the trapping was. We were under his domain, under his power. And not only that, we did whatever Satan would suggest to us, but we wanted to do what Satan suggested to us. We wanted to do that.
Amen.
Remember, he says, you have your father, the devil, and the lust or the desires of your father, you want to do whatever he desires, you desire.
Mm-hmm.
So when you curse, you curse. When you had sex, you had sex. When you lusted, you lusted. When you stole, you stole. You just did what you wanted to do. We were trapped in that, but not against our will. Let's go back. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, when the bottom portion, who has called you out of darkness, out of that sinful state of being trapped by the prince of darkness. And what did he call you out? Remember, if you called out of something, let's say this room was dark. Mm-hmm. This is the realm of darkness. If you go out of here, you're going into something else. Mm-hmm. Glory be to God. What's the into? Let's read. Into his marvelous, not just light, but marvelous light.
Yes.
We are participants of the light that God is in his nature. Because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So we become participants of the light that God is in his nature. Now you can just write this down. You don't necessarily turn there. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7, I think. 1 John 1:5. You know, I said to turn there, but you can write, 1 John 1:5. This is the message which we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Well, what does that mean? Light, pure, holy, darkness, ignorance, evil. We were participants of that which is ignorant and evil as unbelievers. And now we are participants of the very nature of the essence of God, who is light. God is light. And he called us into that light. Listen to that. God is light. That's him in his essence. And he called us into that light. Satan is dark, and that's who he is in his essence. And he called us out of that into his light. Not like I'm gonna turn on a light here and let you stand over up under that, but you can't have none of my real light. No, he called us into the very thing that he is, his essence of being light. Think about that for a moment. Not just any light, but the light that God is.
Amen.
Again, 1 John 1:5, God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. He is pure. He's holy. He is light. We are made creatures of light. And light, again, is the light of God's truth and his righteous desires to obey it. So if you want to define light in particular, I have here in my notes, the light of God's truth. That's what light is. The light of God's truth and the righteous desire to obey it. In other words, God's word is light. God is light. His word is light. His word is truth. And then the desire to obey it. So if he's called us into his marvelous light, it's not that we're just sitting there basking in the light. We have a duty to do, which is to obey the truth of God's word, which is light. And that lights the world, right? You are the light of the world. You can go into a whole light teaching all day long, too. So the light that you are by living out the truth of God's word lights the quick and lone, lights where you are. It lights the darkness around you. Is there not darkness around you? All around you. In our family, and our jobs. That's why we have to understand, when God puts us in certain places that we aren't too fond of, realize that you're there for his glory, for his reason, to publish and to advertise his excellencies. Not there for you. Hard. Hard on the human being, the person that he has there. But God is getting all the glory. He's glad you're there. Because he wants to publish. He wants to advertise. He wants to put His excellencies on display through you. And he does that through you. He does that through creation. He does that through other means. And one day he's going to do it himself. Because he's coming back. Just like he said he would. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, verse 10. For you once were not a people. For you once were not a people. But now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So he did this, and then he says, because you were not a people. In other words, you were without hope, without God, without covenant, without mercy. Say that again. You are not a people. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that you weren't human beings. Obviously, you're a human being. He wouldn't say you weren't an earthly creature, but he's speaking spiritually. You were not a people. And you could easily say, my people. You didn't belong to me. So you were without hope, without God, without a covenant, and without mercy. Doesn't that sound like our lives when we were out there doing our things? That's why we're so miserable. Try to find happiness in a boy and a girl and some money and some this and that, dealings, whatever. And try to find it in fun and entertainment. You know, we're literally amusing ourselves to death, by the way, just entertaining ourselves just into a stupor. Entertainment is really a powerful, powerful stupefying. Yeah, thank you, preacher. She's helping me preach today. She don't usually say nothing, but she's right. That's right. She's right. Entertainment is really, if you really sit back and just think about it, it's disturbing. You know, they just entertain, just a game. I mean, they're in some of the. Some of the Latin American countries, you know, they've killed like the soccer players that let in a goal. You know, they've run and killed the goalie. It's really crazy. You can enjoy entertainment, but just keep it under control. Lord have mercy, don't let it run your life. We were not a people. We were without hope. We were without God. We were without covenant. We were without mercy. Just reading those and remembering my past life, it's disturbing to know that's where I was. It ought to disturb you. It's not about necessarily how bad you were in a sense of, because that's our good and bad. Even that's our judgment of bad. You born a sinner. You are born a sinner. So our judgment of good and bad, but just not, it's not about how what we would deem bad. It's about your spiritual state at that time. No matter how, you could have been living a good life. There are many sinners who are prosperous and appear to be nice people, but you mentioned God, they have nothing to say to you. Don't acknowledge God at all. Mm-hmm. You know, Sister Melinda and I, our boss, nice dude. Love that dude. Wonderful guy. But he... No, not at all. And he's a Jew, too. We're praying for his salvation. Nice guy. Very respectful. Wonderful. Love me, Amberlin. But he's not, you mentioned God, there's nothing there. He is without hope. And the thing about it, the God of this world has blinded the mind, so the hopeless don't know they don't have hope.
Amen.
That's how tricky he is. But even though this is a successful Jewish educator who's a, and when I say nice, I mean relatively to mean people, and not talking about the biblical, who's a nice guy in that sense, married, two kids, still with his wife, treats folk with respect, he is without hope, he is without God, he is without a covenant, and he is without mercy. If you walk those four things through, think about your cousins, your sons, your daughters, your brothers, your sisters. That ought to scare you into praying for them even more, is the point I'm making. They don't have God. They have no mercy. Oh, Lord, let me get on them knees. Continue to pray for your cousins and your nephews and nieces and your boss and your co-workers. And
amen. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Because they frustrate us. Mm-hmm. They do get on our nerves. Mm-hmm. They really, really do.
Amen.
But what we got to fight through our initial feelings and emotions and to realize they are without God. That's why they're acting this way. They are
absolutely
without covenant. They are without hope. They have no hope. And there is no mercy. That's why everything that goes on in the world throws folks sideways, because there's every hope is linked here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All hope is, and happiness is linked to happenings. So when the happenings go south, you know, then people just really go,
mm-hmm.
No hope without God, without covenant, without mercy. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. This gives that that state of the unbeliever. Ephesians 2, look at verse 12. Ephesians 2, 12. That's Ephesians 2, 12. He said, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ. See, this is the definition of not a people. Separate from Christ. I think King James has without Christ. Excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, meaning you didn't have a covenant, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's a sinner. That was us. For you were once not a people. Let's turn back. 1 Peter 2. We were once not a people. We were separate from Christ. Strangers of the covenant of promise, having no hope, without God, and excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. That was us. You are once not a people. Comma. Thank God for the comma. And the contrasted conjunction. But, but you, now you are the people of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You were not a people. Meaning you are not my people, but now you are the people of God. Look at this. You had not received mercy, which is compassion, but now you have received mercy. Thank you, Lord. He has caused us to receive mercy. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 13. The very next verse. Ephesians 2:13. Okay. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. Is that another way of saying that we have received mercy?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. We were brought near, how? By the blood of Jesus. That's mercy.
Amen.
Because what we, mercy is giving us, not giving us what we should deserve. And grace is giving us what we don't deserve.
Amen.
Here, he brought us near. Is that what we deserve? That what we should have gotten, bringing us near? No, not at all. He brought us near by the blood of Jesus. And how in the world do we think we're something? That's amazing. We were without hope, no God, no covenant, strangers to God, the things of God. He brought us near. He chose us. Father, help us to appreciate that.
Amen.
So we're answering the question as we get ready to close. We're answering the question, why should we as aliens live this way? Because we are God's people for his own possession, that we may proclaim, publish, advertise the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness. We are to proclaim his heroic deeds, his ability to perform powerful and heroic deeds. We are to proclaim his glorious attributes, to proclaim his gracious dealings. We are his walking billboard. Look at what God can do in somebody, in a person.
Amen.
Now look what I've done. Look what God has done.
Absolutely.
He brought me out of the world of sin and darkness into his marvelous light. Look where he brought me from. That was an old song back in the day.
Yes.
Look where he brought me from. That song is on point. That is theologically correct. Because you're telling them, look where he brought me from. That's exactly what you're supposed to say.
Amen.
And then you tell them what he did. He brought me out of a world of sin and darkness into his marvelous light. That's straight from here. Look where he brought me from. That's good news.
Yep.
Amen.
We'll pick up next time as we continue to talk about why is it that he brought us, why is it that we are to live the way we're to live as aliens and foreigners and strangers? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for the reminder that we were at one time not your people. We were without you, Father, apart from your covenants. No hope, no mercy. So there was nothing good in us. Because apart from you, there is no good. We were apart from you. There is no good. So it's not like you looked down and said, that dude is a pretty good guy. Let me go down and shed blood. No. In spite of who we were, you said, let me go down there and shed my blood. In spite of it, not because of it. This is your love, your mercy, your graciousness on full display in our lives. And all you're asking of us is just go out and publish it abroad to a watching world. Father, I see that. I see that and get a better understanding of that even through this prayer. We are your walking billboards. And I speak that over everyone who's saved.
Amen.
We are walking billboards. We are open books.
Amen.
We're written letters and epistles known and read of all men, publishing your excellencies throughout the entire earth. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' holy mighty and majestic name, we say thank God.
Thank God.
And amen.